and blind. And a friend leads me out here in the morning to sit beside the road and beg for my food, and money for my food. And so this is just a normal morning. Sit here at a busy street right here outside of Jericho. Don't really know how far it is, but so I shake my hand as people go by, and I beg for, you know, alms for the blind. And some people are generous, you know, they put some in. Others don't. Some people mock. And so it's just an ordinary day here today, and I just do this a couple times a week, and just so I get enough for food. And then this morning, all of a sudden, I hear a crowd. I hear voices. And it sounds like lots of people. Lots of voices. I can hear them. And I think they're coming this way. I think they're coming towards me. And what could it mean? What could this be? Is this a riot? Or is this good or bad? And then in the distance, I hear them saying something about Jesus. And Jesus, something comes to my mind all of a sudden that it's, I remember in the synagogue, they read from Isaiah the prophet, and it said in there that someday somebody's going to come and save us from our sins. And I'm just thinking, well, is this happening right here? Right here, I'm just this old beggar that's sitting here, and I'm hearing this, and people are coming. It's obviously coming closer. And the people in the synagogue used to say that he would save us from our sins, and then it also says that he will give sight to the blind and heal the lame, and the deaf will be able to speak. And I'm thinking, is this really so? In my experience, because I believe what the prophet said, I believe that. And so he came. The crowd came closer and closer, and all of a sudden they were. I could about feel they were right there at the road. And I just couldn't help myself. I said, "Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." But the crowd was so loud, and surely Jesus was not able to deal with a poor old beggar like him. But I just said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd, they mocked me and told me to shut up. As if I'm a nobody. I'm just a poor old beggar. I'm the same person they see every day. And it really hurt. But again, I couldn't help myself. I just cried. I just yelled out louder, "Jesus!" In other words, I'm trying to get his attention above the ground. It's real to me. And it's, I believe he's there. And finally, the whole crowd, everything just got quiet, death and quiet. And Jesus spoke up, and he said, "Call him to me." And I'm thinking, what's he saying? What's he saying to the beggar, to me? And all of a sudden, the crowd that was mocking me and telling me to be quiet, they said, "Get up and take courage. He's calling you. He's calling your name." And so I just jumped up because I It was my only chance. And I walked over to Jesus and I stood in front of him. I was hoping he would say something. I didn't know what to say. I'm trusting and believing this is Jesus out of the book of Isaiah. And Jesus says, finally, he spoke up. He said, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And I just said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." And all of a sudden, I could see. Just like that. And I followed him along the way. Oh, I was supposed to throw my garment aside. Sorry. Excuse me a second. I have a little bit too much clothing on here. Before we get into the sermon, how many of you have the experience of seeing this in your jobs or in a year's time? Have you seen that? That's something, isn't it? I go into Cambridge, Ontario every day, five times a week, and there's a busy intersection. It's a city of 500,000 people plus, and it's a busy intersection. I pull my big truck right there up to the red light right beside it. This man is walking back and forth there and has this on, and these cars are stopped here. He walks back and forth. And he's hoping, just like this, he's just hoping that you don't have a can, but it's the same concept. In our day, today's world, in Canada, or United States. Anyway, that's not really the note. It's kind of a side note, but it makes me think, what would Jesus do is always my question, because I'm intrigued that the one man that's there still, he's always smoking. He's walking back and forth. He's got this cars here, and he's walking back and forth there looking to see if somebody would give him. And he's got his cigarette behind him, and after a bit he takes the problem and puts it back. And I thought, well, what's the problem with smoking? A lot of people smoke in Canada. But the thing is, he is kind of like I do when I see that. I kind of wonder, well, if he can pay his, whatever, $12 in Canada for cigarettes, maybe he doesn't need my U.S. dollar bills, I don't know. It's a tough choice. You could turn with me to Mark chapter 10. I'd like to read this passage of scripture about Bartimaeus and then make a few comments. I think this is a very bold and clear message of the gospel and the things that Jesus came for, and our responsibility. Glenn said that we have our responsibility today now to promote the gospel and spread it to the world. I believe he is depending on us. He can do whatever he wants to as far as God is concerned, but he is using people and expecting us to help. It's very rich in meaning, and so it's probably a children's story, but it's probably something that, I know it meant something to me as I studied this and looked over this again. Mark 10, verse 46, they came to Jericho, this is him and his disciples, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, great multitude, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried, and the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still
and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, be of good comfort, take courage, is my words. Rise, and be called. He calleth thee. And he, Bartimaeus, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. First of all, we want to look at the thought of Jericho itself, the city. The city is, from my study, is the lowest city on earth. It is 825 feet below sea level. And it's right beside the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea is right there if you look on the map. A contrast of Jerusalem, which is the city on a hill, and the city of God's people. Jerusalem is, instead of being 825 feet below sea level, Jerusalem is 2,556 feet above sea level. And so when the Bible talks about the city on a hill, or it talks about, a lot of times they talk about walking, and I was never there, but I was in a class with a teacher that was there. And what I guess if you would be there, or would it, if you would take a trip there, you would understand the geography lots better. And it would be more meaningful, because when the Bible says that they different times they left and went up to Jerusalem, well, that's just how the Bible says. It's just uphill a little bit. Well, Jerusalem is actually up. And so, not that it really matters that much, but it is God's special place. So this is an opposite. This setting here is opposite. Jericho, if you would combine this blindness with this man, Jericho, then you could say that it is a parallel or a city of blindness. And it's down low in the depths of blindness, and Bartimaeus represents this. And what is he doing when this story starts? He's sitting by the wayside, stuck, and he can't get it. He can't even, if I understood right, the roads are that rough. Like, I didn't use a cane to come in here purposely for that. I was going to make a cane to try and act like a blind person. And I'm told that you need to be led, because there's rocks and it's rugged. And so this person is sitting there stuck till somebody helps him out again. And Bartimaeus needed to be led in, just like Kyle led me in here. Someone needs to help. And he's a beggar, of course. We beg, and maybe in a different way. We beg when we cannot provide for ourselves. Well, most of us sitting here somehow provide for ourselves when you think of physical things. But then the spiritual, you and I realize that we need help in a real way. And so we beg when we cannot provide for ourselves, when we have no way of earning or supplying the needs or that's required, or something that we would like to have or acquire. We need to beg or ask, if you will. But I think most of us know what begging is in prayer too. And I'm not saying that in a negative way, but sometimes it's just like you don't even know how right what to say. And it almost turns into a begging. Lord, I'm lost in this. I need your help. And I cannot find for myself what I need. And I'm not talking about need in a selfish way, but in a situation. I need to ask God, and sometimes we end up begging. And so it's not that far from us. He sat there begging. He was incapable of providing for himself. The next thing we see here is that it's a crowd following. In verse 46, his disciples and Jesus and a great number of people. And His cry is to have mercy. And so you can kind of, in our minds, we can kind of make the two requests that he has for him as prayers. The two requests the blind man has for Jesus as a prayer. Both times, the one is to have mercy on me, and the other is that I would be able to see. And what we have here in the next scene is the idea of the crowd telling him to be quiet or hold your peace here in the King James, and some of them say shut up. And we need to realize that it probably is a need to me to use the word shut up, although I don't really say that. But it's a crude, you can feel the attitude of the crowd by using it that term in my mind. It's not a kindness, it's not, here, Bartimaeus, just be quiet. It's a gruff handling of the situation. Well, there's something going on here that I think we can think, as I think of this, is the crowd, if you will, if you kind of see pictures sometimes of crowds of people circling around the speaker, like it creates a wall, and people all want to press in on the speaker, and that's, to me, that's the picture here. Jesus is almost like insulated or isolated from Bartimaeus, and he can't get to him. So you could say that they were putting up a wall. There was hindrances there because they were yelling at him. Do we have voices yelling at us sometimes? And the other way of looking at it is there's an obstacle that he can't get to Jesus, really. The other thing is that there is one chance. Can you just put yourself in that situation? I believe he's trusting in Jesus. I believe he heard about him. There's this guy in Nazareth that's doing some miracles, and now he comes this way. And if he did say, if his mind went to Isaiah 35 or not, I don't know. But I did a little Isaac Jesus there and added my own thoughts, that he was thinking that that's what he had heard. This Jesus is going to do this. This person's going to do this. And so we'll leave that go and take our thoughts to the next scene as he cries all the more. And he's got to get his attention. I mean, this is serious business. The Bible says, I'm going to be able to see, and this man that is going to be able to do this is passing within hearing distance. And I've got to get my point across. It doesn't matter what it takes. I don't care what the cries or the voices are that are screaming at me. If there's a need that I can't acquire, I'm going to start begging. And that's what he did. He cries all the more. He's overcoming those obstacles. Jesus stops in the next scene. He calls Bartimaeus to himself. And now this crowd that's telling him to be quiet says, hey, come on over here, get on your feet, take courage, he's calling your name. Now they're encouraging. And that was the response of Bartimaeus. He took courage because this Jesus was calling him. Cast away his old clothing and the old life, if you will. He rises up in new life. He jumps up. Some of the versions say that he actually jumps up. And he stands in front of Jesus. Jesus asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? So now there's, in closing here, there's six things that I have said there, six different scenes that I'd like to just add a few practical applications to. When the first scene was that he cried out to him, he says, have mercy on me. My question here, in a practical sense, I believe Jesus is asking us, not only some of you that are still seeking whether you want to weigh out and follow Jesus or not, not just that group of people, but for us that have been believers for a long time, I think he's saying, what can I do for you? And what do you want me to do for you? Something that you can't do for yourself. And so my encouragement here is that we would ask for mercy. ask God to keep ourselves in place, and not, I think most of us would agree that self a lot of times gets out of control, and we need a continued blessing and watching over and hovering over the Spirit of God in our life, so that self doesn't get out of control and gets in the way. Jesus wants to do something for us today. And we'll look at that in the last point then too. I think there's very clear that there's verses that talk about taking up our cross daily. So there's something that, you know, Jesus is wanting to do for us if we would actually put self to the side and take up our cross. The second was the idea of the crowd being in the way. Matthew, you don't need to turn to it. Matthew 23 is one verse that I'm thinking about. When I think of this crowd standing in the way and putting this wall up, wall between Jesus, that's kind of scary thought there, I think. It says in Matthew 23, verse 13, it says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." That's Jesus' description of the listeners. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." That's pretty direct. Jesus does that quite a bit to these people. He says, "For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." You don't even allow those that are entering to go in. And so when I think of this wall that this crowd created, I do believe it was a challenge to me again in my own life. What am I doing to help or hinder someone that's seeking the Lord? Am I putting up a wall and missing that one chance that they might have to receive some water or some seed to plant some seeds? And you know, my thoughts go all kinds of places, but I don't want to be one that hinders. I don't want to be the one that puts a wall up. And that's sometimes, it can only just be as simple as an attitude or some words that really slip out and they shouldn't. I want to be an encouragement to those that are seeking. The blind man was begging above the noise of the crowd, and they said, "Be quiet." And they just kind of want to stump him in the ground and put him back so he can't get to him. They were at fault. They were definitely at fault. But that's, I think, one of the applications here for me is to help lead people to Christ. When I think of those voices and the cries that Satan brings our way, most of us have watched Facing the Giants movie, and the song in there is "The Voice of Truth." Most of us probably know if I would be able to sing it, and I'm not going to, don't worry. But I can read it, at least. But "The Voice of Truth" from Casting Crowns is in that movie, and it's bringing out the voices that we hear that are saying, "You can't do it, you're a nobody." And so that, when you remember that movie on the football game, it was quite a challenge to be able to overcome that other team that they were playing against. So it starts out here, "Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat that I'm in, onto the crashing waves," picture of Peter, right? "Onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone to the realms of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out my hand." Kind of the picture, get the picture of Peter and Jesus is there. Sometimes we see imaginary pictures of that, but that's what the writer here is picturing. But then he says, "But the waves," or this crowd that we're talking about here in Bartimaeus, that got in Bartimaeus' way, they were shouting out messages that were not promoting Jesus. They were hindering him. He says here in the psalm, "But the waves are calling out my name." and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times that I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. That's the theme of the song. The voice of truth says, don't be afraid. And can't you kind of feel that in Bartimaeus' situation? He had a crowd of people against it. And he took up the courage to be able to yell above the crowd to get Jesus' attention. And so it says, but the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and to believe the voice of truth. And then he goes on to give us a picture of David and Goliath. He says, oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name. Goliath is calling out my name. He laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried and failed. The giant keeps telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. And so that's the two verses of the song. There's a little more to it there. But the idea is for us this morning, as I think of a practical application here, is that am I going to be part of the voice of truth, or am I going to be part of the negative side that's going to build a wall? And it's a challenge. He cries out for help despite the obstacles, and we look at part of Bartimaeus then as not believing the voices that he's hearing. He's believing the voice of truth. And the other thing that I get out of this is a practical side of things is he don't give up. And we have this kind of in a persistent prayer kind of person in the Bible that we talk about. And that's right here also. Because after Jesus couldn't hear him because of the crowd, he could have said, well, I guess I still am just a blind man. And nobody ever care. I'm just a beggar. And so he was a persistent prayer. Jesus calls in the next scene, and then, of course, the crowd encourages him. Do I encourage? Am I sensitive to the Spirit's leading? If Jesus is calling you to do something this morning, you know, will we get rid of the old stuff and get it out of the way so we can have a clear conscience and let the voice speak clearly to us? I believe that Bartimaeus had the faith that when Jesus called, he just went on and moved on. He did whatever it took. And I would like to encourage us to do that. And then the next scene is that we would cast off our old dirty past. We're looking for something new. Bartimaeus was looking for something new he wanted to see. And the last point is then the most important part to this message here in these verses. When he asks, what do you want me to do for you? It's a very simple answer. We understand this physically, that you know anybody that's blind would want to ask Jesus, will you just grant me the ability to see? I want to see. I want to see what these people are talking about. They're talking about bird colors. They're talking about flower colors. They're talking about sunrises, sunsets. And I've never seen anything like that. I've never experienced that. And so when we take it over to the spiritual sense, this is the important part of the message. Jesus is asking us, do you want to see? And so what does that all mean? It means probably different things for different people. But when we start saying that to Jesus, that I want to see spiritually, I want you to open up the scriptures to me and have me understand what's going on in life and answers to lots of questions I have. But when we say that we want to do that, do we really want it? I think Bartimaeus was serious about being able to see. He wanted to see. Do we want to see spiritual things? Or is it just saying that I asked God and don't know for sure what he said? Well, I think and I believe that when we have a sincere heart of faith like Bartimaeus had, and Jesus is asking us, do you want to see? Is there things that I can do for you? And I don't believe that God is a God that does magic, as far as all Christians just snap their fingers and then he does whatever they ask. That's not what I'm saying. But when we do say that, I want to see into the scripture. I want to see what you, are we willing to take what God has for us? Because actually sometimes when we do that and we really get serious with God, all of us know that if you ask God for something, you better be ready to do it. Because he can answer any kind of prayer you ask him. If we're not willing to do it, he doesn't answer those prayers. But if we're gonna be interested, so am I willing to ask the question and then yield myself to what he wants me to do? It's pretty straightforward. I hope all of us can leave here thinking about Bartimaeus' seriousness about wanting to see physically. Honestly, ask Jesus to give us more sight, to clear sight, be willing to yield then to that the insights that he gives. In closing, do you want to see? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this section of scripture here. We pray, Lord, that we could be the kind of people that really seriously want to see what you have for us. Be willing to obey what you reveal to us. Just guide and direct us as we think about this blind man and how you gave sight and how you want to give us spiritual sight. Help us to be willing to go about our daily lives seeking to do your will, seeking to do what you want us to do. Just bless each one for being here this morning. We pray, Lord, as we think about the gathering and the importance of it, that we could encourage each other and challenge each other by being together here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.